Hey, good evening, friends. At the outset, Asset would like to wish all of you and your families a very happy new year. This is the very first colloquium in this year, but there may be a question why starting with depression and anxiety. So I kept my, this was just coincidental, so it's not planned this way, but the thing is, maybe many of us made good resolutions on how we want to fare in this new year. Maybe better to have this talk early enough in the year, maybe then, so that we can fulfill these resolutions. So that is my defense. And it's true. I think just we were talking about every day when you read newspapers, you feel depressed and feel anxiety about it. Every one of us, whatever our professions may be, maybe farmers, maybe students, maybe professors, maybe wives, maybe our husbands, whatever. Every class, sometime or the other, goes through problems, and maybe, as Dr. probably is going to say, and some of them may be quite difficult to detect, and some of them maybe goes undetected, and so on. But today, I think, fortunately, we have here Dr. Avinash D'Souza, consultant, psychiatrist, and psychotherapist, very distinguished doctor in Mumbai. So he's going to kind of throw some light on these aspects, and hopefully many of our questions probably will be answered at the end. In case they are not answered, what doctor would like to have these questions are, if they can be clubbed at the end, so the discussion will be more smoother instead of trying to interrupt him during his talk. So please keep that in mind. Just a few words about Dr. D'Souza. He is the director of No More Consultancy, KNOW, Private Limited, a company that works in the area of corporate consultancy and holistic life enhancement. He is a research associate at the Department of Psychiatry, Lokmanya Tilak Municipal Medical College, Mumbai. He has over more than 230 publications in national and international journals, and author of 8 books on this subject. In addition to psychiatry degree, he also has a master's in counseling and psychotherapy, is an MPhil on applied psychology, an MBA in human resource development. He has been awarded doctorate in clinical psychology from University of Hertfordshire, UK. So he is actually a kind of double doctor in the year 2011. So with these few words, I invite Dr. D'Souza for his talk. Yeah.
Is it fine? Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for having me over here at TIFR. Well, why we chose this topic, and when Dr. Satyanarayana asked me, I was to come here in October, and then I had a bout of dengue, so I couldn't come. So fortunately, unfortunately, 2nd Jan was the date, and I'm here. The new literature, WHO statistics on mental health, says that 1 in 3 people, the new statistic says 1 in 3 people are mentally ill. They may be depressed, they may be anxious, they may be anything. So I always tell people, look around you. If your 2 friends are normal, fine, then it's you. Yeah. So 1 in 3. Well, just to start with, as human beings, we are sometimes right, sometimes wrong, sometimes flawed, as we would like to say it. And I always do a very simple exercise in many of my workshops. I won't be doing it here, but I tell people, write down about people who you don't like. And they start, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, nearly 10 or 12 people who they don't like. I tell them, write down about people who you like. And there's usually 3 or 4 people who they say they like. The whole reason why people get a bit depressed and anxious is we imbibe much more negativity. We think the negatives first. We look at the negatives first. And there is no doubt, I work, you work, we all work And one of the biggest sources of stress and depression and anxiety in our lives is work. Research done has very clearly shown, if you enjoy your work, you're less likely to be depressed. But if you enjoy your work and don't enjoy your family life, you're still likely to be depressed. Now, the most important factor when it comes to work is, there is no occupation which is spared from depression and anxiety. I looked up research and I tried to see whether being a doctor makes me less depressed, being an accountant makes me less depressed. I always felt lawyers earn more than me, so whether being a lawyer makes you, you know, less depressed. I always thought that, you know, traffic police earns more than me, so, you know, whether being a traffic policeman or in the police force makes you less depressed. No, it's there everywhere. So irrespective of the work you do, what they said, it's not the work you do. You may be a vegetable seller, you may be a scientist, you may be a doctor, but whether you're happy with your work or not is what is essential. If you are unhappy where you are right now, you're going to be depressed or anxious. Always remember, there is no one who can say I am exclusively depressed or exclusively anxious. Both goes hand in hand. It's only when you worry, you tend to get depressed. Because you worry and then you realize there's no solution, and then you get depressed. Or if you are sad, then you start to worry about the future. So anxiety comes in. One of the commonest signs of depression and anxiety is anger. I meet many angry people, you know, being a doctor, you know. I met a patient once who came to my clinic and he shouted at my receptionist, you know, the doctor has given us an appointment at 7:30. It is now 7:40 and he has not taken us inside. So he said, aapke pehle patient jo gaya hai sir, wo hai, thoda time le raha hai. Nahin, time is time, you know, he said, what is this? So when he came in, he told me that, sir, wo kaisa patient tha pehle aaya? He took 45 minutes. So I said, aap bhi lijiye. So he said, no, but time is time. I said, why are you so angry? I said, I have video cameras, I could see you are literally shaking my receptionist. So he said, no, I want things to be done correctly. Now believe me, people who are academicians, we're particular about things. People, a lot of people I meet in life who are non-academicians are also particular about things. They want things to be on time, they want things in a particular manner. When that doesn't happen, they get angry. The common man has to realize, in a city like Bombay, things will never happen the way we want. We decide in a day we want 10 things done. On the most important day, the most important person who's needed is absent, usually. So, or if everything goes right, the internet is not working. So the things you want done won't happen. As long as we do 5 out of 10, we should be happy. Finance may not be a major issue for many of us. We are maybe supposed to be self-satisfied, but it is a problem everywhere. People are unhappy financially. More loans are taken and less are, you know, paid back usually. And money is something that makes, when you have enough of it, you're unhappy. When you have less of it, you're unhappy. When you have just enough, you want more. When you have a little less, we think, no, a little more. I always remember something which one of my professors told me when I was in medical college. He told me, Avinash, what are you going to charge when you become a private practitioner? So at that time I said, sir, maybe 500, 600 rupees a patient. So he said, do you think that will be enough? I said, no, over time I will increase it to 1000 rupees and then 1100, 1200. He said, what if a poor patient comes and says, I can only pay 100 rupees? I said, I'll see him. It's not that I won't see him, but I will feel little unhappy that, you know, he's not paying my full charges. So he told me, who's a better barber? One that shaves 5 people in the Taj Hotel or one that shaves 200 in Tirupati? So I said, sir, 200, because he's doing... So he says, always see every patient. Don't worry about the money, because experience is what matters. Money will come. Initially, I used to take lectures, not get paid. Even here, I've not come for money. I've come just to lecture. Yeah. So the thing is, but now if I tell someone, you know, these are my charges, if you want me to lecture, they pay. So I'm happy. So money comes, you know, it's needed. Children are a source of anxiety and depression. You know. In today's world, everyone is bothered what my son will do, what my daughter will do, because they are not doing what we want them to do, you know, usually. And today's era is different. You know. Imagine I'm a doctor and my son comes, Dad, I want to be a DJ. You know, I'm going to say, nahi, you do science, do this. I want to do 12th arts, then I want to do BA, and I want to do historical architecture. So I'll say, nahi, there's no money, there's nothing, you do science. That's, you know, science is the thing. That's what I'll tell him. Usually, and then children don't listen. Parents always tell me, children don't listen, so we are depressed. The child is not depressed, you know. He is very happy wherever he is, you know. He has got only 60% in 10th standard, but he is happy. Every June, I get parents who come to me with depression and anxiety. Sir, admission kaisa hoga? And I told the child, he's saying, ghar ke baju mein jo college hai, udhar ho jayega. And he is not worried. He says, but the parents want a particular college or they want a particular institute. So they are worried there. And in today's era, let me tell you, there are far more occupational possibilities for children than there ever were. We feel, because we've been brought up in a particular way. My parents were orthodox, most of our parents were orthodox. We were brought up in a very particular way. And we try to put that in our children. It's very nice, it's very correct. But at the same time, we have to realize today's world is a very, very different world. And children are going to be rebellious. We were rebellious, but we didn't have the heart to open our mouths or show that we were rebellious. We did it quietly. Today's children do it openly. And that is what makes us worry and get marriage. Another cause of depression and anxiety. Those who have not worn the marriage ring and have never worn it will suffer. Those who are in marriage are suffering. You know. So either way, there is no choice, you know. And in marriage, the most important thing is the interactions you have with your partner. Daniel Gottman, a very famous psychologist who's done a lot of work over the last 30 years on marriage, says, in every marriage, there are positive interactions and negative interactions and neutral interactions. Positive interactions are, you know, I love you, I care for you, you look so beautiful. Those are positive interactions. Negative is, you know, are you know, wo dusra ladki mil raha tha, kya malum, when I thought I married you, you know, that way. Or when you say that, you know, you're a useless wife, you don't understand. It's a common sentence in marriage, you know, you don't understand. I don't know why, but it's there. Neutral interactions are, kitne baje ghar aa raha hai, you know, dabba liya kya, kapde dhone mein dal du kya, you know, those are neutral interactions. And men and women always fight. They are born to fight. Always remember that. So in any marriage, if some couple tells you, no, we never fight, that marriage is a little dysfunctional. The marriage has to, you know, there has to be fights, there has to be making up, there has to be efforts, you know, to make the wife or the husband. Usually the husband has to make the effort to make the wife, you know, make up. So that has to be there. And male brain, female brain is different. So male brains have good academic memory. Female brains also have good academic memory. But male brains have very poor emotional memory. So they don't remember, you know, last night jagda kiya, so gaya, subha utha, wife ko kal raat ko kya bola, they don't remember, you know. And they'll get up in the morning and say, oh, hello darling, where's the tea? You know, as though nothing has happened. And the wife usually remembers for the next 3-4 weeks that, you know, this was said at by you and, you know, And the same thing was said by you 4 months back, you know, when we went here. So the husband said, "Abhi kal ka nahi malum hai, 4 months back, how will I remember?" But that is there. Similarly, multitasking. Women are much better than men, you know. Very often I know in any marriage, a wife tells the husband, "You go to the kitchen and get the salt, you know, it is kept here." Male is very focused. He'll say where it is kept. She'll say second shelf. So he'll go, he'll only look at the second shelf and then say, "It is not there." And the wife usually says, "See, I'm coming there. If I find it, I'll show you," you know. And usually the wife finds it on the first shelf and will say, "He said it is on the first shelf. It is not on the second shelf." And the fight starts. On small issues, the fight starts. And then, you know, I have couples who come and tell me, "We are unhappy in marriage. We are depressed. We are anxious." You know. And I say, "Why are you anxious?" He said, "No, I don't get along with my wife, so I'm anxious." "Why am I depressed?" "I don't get along with my wife, so I'm depressed." They don't understand that just little adjustment is all that is needed. That is natural treatment. You don't even need to come to a psychiatrist. But still, they come. Tom and Jerry, something we all saw when we were small. Today, they have disappeared. We don't see so much of this on TV. Children are seeing different kinds of cartoons. This is not there. But in everyone's life, there is Tom and Jerry. You will either have your boss who's Tom and you're Jerry. You will either have your wife who's Tom and you're Jerry. Or you will either be Tom and, you know, many Jerrys around you. So that is the way things are. And why I'm speaking about this is because human beings have a tendency or an urge to dominate. Each one wants to dominate the other one. Today, if you go home and fight with your wife, you'll fire the watchman, you know, someone who you can dominate. He'll go home and fire his wife. She'll hit the children. The children will, child will hit the younger brother. Younger brother will break a toy. So there is always that kind of dominion which is going to happen. Another cause of depression and worry is digital media. Everybody is on the mobile phone and Facebook. Everyone is on an application called the WhatsApp. And as long as the WhatsApp is used academically, it's a good tool. But if it is used socially without control, I mean, I'm clear, socially without control, then it makes life miserable. I remember seeing a college student who came to me and she had what I call Facebook depression. Now, why I say this is, she came to me and said, the parents said she's depressed and they brought her to me. Someone told them, "You take her to Dr. D'Souza." I said, "Why are you depressed, my girl?" And she said, "Whenever I put a photo of mine on Facebook, I get only 20 likes. And my friend gets 45. I don't like that. And sometimes for 3 hours, I don't get a single like. And I'm waiting. You know, just like he's waiting, when will I, the phone beep?" She says, "I'm waiting." And even WhatsApp, she says that, "I have made a group. It's not an active group. My friend's group is so active, 300 messages, 400 messages. And digital media has brought people closer from around the world, but has made us go away from our family. Every night at 10 o'clock, when you were small, I was small, we used to have a lady at 11 o'clock who used to come on the TV and say, 'Acha karyakram sampla,' you know. So we used to put the TV off because there was no 24-hour TV. So we used to sit with our family and discuss, you know, what happened. So father would say, 'I went here,' mother would say, 'I went here,' I would say, 'School, we did this,' and then we would go to sleep. Today at 10:30, people are in four corners of the house with four gadgets. That is why families don't communicate. Husband and wives, mothers and children, fathers and children argue via SMS. They don't argue orally like, you know, we used to argue. You know, earlier when we were small and would play down fourth floor, if husband wife were fighting, we would know ki haan wo chalu ho gaya unka, you know, fir se. But today, no. They'll argue by SMS. Son is in the bedroom, mother is in the kitchen, he'll message the mother, "Is the dinner ready?" And then come. That is a cause of depression in our families. Another cause is sleep. We don't sleep enough. It is well known people who sleep less than 5 hours a day are going to get demented before they are 65. It is also well known people who sleep less than 5 hours a day are going to be 30 times more likely to be depressed when they are 40 than those who don't. So if you sleep 6.5 hours a day, you are safe. If you sleep less than that, you are going to have issues. What is depression? People always ask me, and what is anxiety? These are not psychiatric terms, let me tell you. These are normal terms. Anything that makes you unhappy can make you depressed. And when you are unhappy in the state that you are presently, you are depressed. When you are worried and fearful about the state that you are anxious. So these are not medical terms or medical disorders. These are things, emotions which you and me and everyone feels. Suppose I came here today and I found only 10 people in the hall, I would be depressed. Suppose I was coming here and there was a traffic jam and I am reaching late, I would be anxious. So these are normal emotions which we face. One of the other reasons why human beings are anxious and depressed is we don't forgive. Even if we forgive, we don't forget. I remember I had an old man who visited my clinic. He was 73 and he was brought to me by his nephew because he was upset, angry, irritable. And I asked him, are you depressed? He said, no, I'm not depressed. And when I told him that, you know, where are your children? He said, my son married a girl who I didn't like. So I told him, get out. And he, you know, got out of the house. He's now in the US. I don't talk to him, he doesn't talk to me, I don't need him, he doesn't need me. And we're fine. That was the statement he made. I said, what about your wife? He said, she passed away 2 years back because of age. And so I said, do you feel lonely? He said, I don't need anyone in my life. I told him, do you feel depressed? I asked him again. He said, you're asking me again? I said, yes. He said, no. Then I said, do you feel your son should phone you? He said, I feel, but he won't phone me. So I said, do you feel you should phone him? He said, I'll never phone him. So I said, have you ever tried to phone him at least, pick up the phone, talk to him once? He should phone me. He's the one who made the mistake. I don't suppose I phone him. Is it okay? So he said, you can phone him, but don't put me on the phone to him. So from my clinic, I phoned him. I said, do you have the number? Number pocket me leke aaya, but he said, I won't phone, you know. So he said, yeah, I have the number. So I said, okay, I'll phone. I phoned and I said, you know, I'm so and so and I'm with your dad. And so he was immediately, doctor, what happened? You know, why is my dad there? I said, no, I said, your dad is come to me brought by your cousin because he's depressed and I feel he's depressed. So from there he shouted, no, I'm not depressed. Don't tell him I'm depressed. So then I said, no, he is depressed and he needs to talk to you. Are you willing to talk to him? So I said, will you talk to him? You can come here, sit and talk to him. And then he spoke to him, started crying. He was in this thing. And his son said, I'm coming back in 3 days, Dad. I'm taking the next flight and I'm coming. And he was so happy. Depression was over. Sometimes we hold on to the negatives, you know. We remember what people did to us. We don't forgive. And we don't get rid of those negative emotions. We have to bury them. We don't bury them, you know. We keep going on with them. That is very, very important. Except generation gap. This is our generation. We were taught that pant has to be worn up. Modern generation, I don't know. You know, pant is lower and lower. That day when I went to the mall and there was this young boy who was in front of me on the escalator, I thought, aisa pant khichunga to niche aa jayega. But pant is worn lower and lower. That is a fashion. And the fashion is also, we have to accept that. I mean, I don't say this generation is wrong, that generation is wrong. I don't know whether that gap is the generation gap, but nevertheless, you know, we have to, you know, accept things the way they are. We can't change the younger generation. That is something which I tell people we have to accept. We have to respect them. Just if we expect them to respect us, but we have to also respect their views. I always remember when we were in college, assignments. we would have it ready in a file before we left the house. Today, assignments, I know students, they are sincere students, no doubt, but they will go to a cyber cafe, take a printout, buy a file then and there, borrow a marker, label it, and submit it. Then they are very confident. Whereas we would feel uneasy if we left the house, you know, without our assignments ready. But that's their generation. It's the digital generation. There's nothing wrong in that. That's their way of working. Our way of working is very different. When we travel, we want our tickets to be in one pouch, you know, so that we don't lose everything. When a younger generation travels, the ticket is in one pant, the thing is in one pant. But then that's the way. They know where it is. It's not that they get lost, but they know where it is. Nowadays, they show the mobile. They don't even show the ticket. So that's the new generation. We have to accept that. And that is one of, this acceptance is one of the things which is the key. We have a mix of young and old. And the reason I put this is, to overcome depression and anxiety naturally at any age, it is very important to find rational love in your life. I'm not saying this so that people get the wrong ideas. I'm primarily saying this, you need to find something that you love and you need to be loved. It may be by your students, it may be by your researchers, it may be by your friends, it may be by your family, but we need that. If you don't get that, you're going to be depressed and anxious forever. And one of the problems most Indians have, even we have, is we don't express our feelings very openly. When I get couples that come to me, they say, sir, ye shaadi mein mujhe andar se khushi nahi mila hai. Now, I don't know what they mean by andar se khushi. I tell them, andar se khushi matlab kya? Nahi, andar se khushi nahi mil raha hai. So I tell them, what does your wife do wrong or what does your husband do wrong? I had a couple that came to me and said, it was a seminar which I did for couples on how to find romance in your life after 40. So they said that, sir, there is, you know, no zing in our marriage. And now we are more focused on the children, their career and other things. We're not focused on it. So I said, then we are fighting every day. One couple stood up and said, we are fighting every day. So I said, what do you all fight about? So the husband said, I'm a person who's very particular about cleanliness. And anything unclean in the house disturbs me. I get depressed or anxious. And my wife is the opposite. When she comes home from work, you know, she will throw the slippers under the sofa. The bag is somewhere else. And I don't like it. I just get very irritated. And then I tell her, you know, please put your things properly. And then the fight starts. So I said, she doesn't want to do it. But I tell her and she gets angry. I said, have you ever tried doing it, you know, yourself? That just put it, no, in the rack. Her bag, you put it wherever you want so that the place is clean. So he says, no, that I have never thought of. From tomorrow maybe I will try. I said, she will not have a problem. You're putting her things in the right place. Her work is less. So they started doing that. We had a follow-up session for them some months later. So they said, no, it was excellent, the suggestion. Now there is no argument. Because she comes, she throws, I let her throw. When she finishes throwing, I go and pick up everything and put it properly. So bottom line is, solutions in life are very simple. But we don't look at them. We try to look at, you know, making the other person adjust to us. We can make minor adjustments in our schedule and find love there. And most importantly, love is one emotion, particularly when you're married, when you have children. Between parents and children, between husbands and wives, it is taken for granted. It is not spoken about. You know. I always ask children, younger generation children between the age of 14 and 25, when did you last tell your parents you love them? Or when did you kiss your mother last on the cheek? And they'll say, hey, that all small children do. We don't do. You know, that's what they say. So I said, no, but I mean, how will your mama know that you love her? What is that to tell her? It is normal. I mean, she has to know. That taking for granted is why we get depressed. And I get, parents will tell me, the child is not the same now as he was 10 years back. The husband says, the wife is not the same now as she was 10 years back. The wife says, husband is not the same now. The reason is we don't express this one emotion called love. It could be expressed through a note, it could be expressed by saying. And most importantly, we tend to speak in a manner that hurts us and hurts others. Very natural way to avoid depression and anxiety is before you get angry, think. Just 1 minute. I always tell all people, think 1 minute. You know, should I say or should I not say? Usually we say and then we after that realize that jada mukul diya. You know, but no, you know. Think for 1 minute. Do I need to open my mouth now? Or can I wait? Or do I need to get angry now? Is it the right time? But no, we very often don't do that. The reason I put this is not because I support the movie, I support the theme. The theme about letting people explore what they like to do. One of the reasons why I find people are depressed and anxious today is they don't have an alternative in life. I always tell people, okay, I'm an academician, I'm a scientist, I am a teacher, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer. What other hobby do you have? What other outlet do you have? And many people don't have an outlet. A hobby which is different from what you do on a day-to-day basis is very, very essential. We are reading. Doctors read about medicine. You all read about science. Others read about law. We should find time for reading something totally different. And then you will find you are less anxious. And depression and anxiety is no doubt a brain-based thing. Proven. There are innumerable articles, there are innumerable research papers, there are innumerable things that say it's a brain-based thing. And the brain can be changed. There is no doubt about that. So we have to learn to relax. The first thing is to relax. And how? Luckily, you all are in quite pleasant surroundings. I had a walk around and, you know, I would love to have a house in this area, but I can't. But the thing is, I don't know. Maybe I'm coming once I feel that way. The thing is, today, I read somewhere, you know. We have tall buildings, but we don't know the neighbors. You know. Here I found a lot of people know each other. You know, it's very uncommon in Bombay that way. I remember I went to see a patient 2 weeks back and I saw a very cute child playing in the compound. So I asked the patient, kiska bachcha hai? He said, 404 ka bachcha hai. You know, he told me. So I said, 404 matlab? I said, nahi, flat number 404 ka bachcha hai, you know. So I said, nahi, but what is the name? He says, naam nahi wala, Punjabi Sindhi log hai, you know. That is the way they. So the thing is, in Bombay, and he stays in 406. So the thing is, he didn't know, you know, who the neighbors were, you know, what the child did. So that human communication is lost. We are in buildings, but we don't have that. And you have a sea around you. That's why I put this photograph. And there are a lot of things positive you can do with the sea. The sea is depressing sometimes, I agree. Seeing the same view again and again, yes. But then unfortunately, we can't change your view. It is there. So you have to learn to look at that. And most importantly, children today, adults today, we get so engrossed in our work that we suffer from what I call nature deficiency disorder. I remember I went to a school once. I work with a lot of schools. So I went to school once and the teacher was, you know, teaching, and there's this one boy who was yawning, and the teacher told him, get out of the class, you know, because he was yawning. So he was in the corridor and I told him, kya ho gaya, you're standing in the corridor. So he says, I didn't do anything bad. I said, then what did you do? So he says, no, I was yawning and the teacher told me, get out. So I said, why were you yawning? He's saying, she is teaching about different types of leaves and roots and all. And I mean, I was not interested. So, and he's a 7th standard, 6th standard boy. So I told the principal, I said, why don't you take them to the garden, make them dig up different roots, make them collect different leaves in a bag and put it in the class and then teach them. So they said, we can't do it every time. I said, at least for some subjects it's possible. Do it. So I said, it will be more interesting. And very often what happens is, we have to understand in life that children don't always learn by punishment. I met a parent who was depressed and anxious and told me, my child doesn't listen to me, that's why I'm depressed. And even if I punish him, it doesn't matter. Punishment never works unless children understand why. So that is something just by the way. Most importantly is what not to do. Don't take to anything wrong. I meet a lot of people who like to eat like me, and as a result they are fat and cute, and but then at the same time I see a lot of people who use eating as a means to overcome their anxiety and depression. You know, if they get angry with the boss, they'll go and have a burger from McDonald's. If they get angry with the wife, they'll go and have a donut from the donut store. If they get angry, they go to Starbucks and have a coffee with cream and chocolate, and then they feel nice that, you know, the anger has reduced. And that leads to these issues. Anger, let me tell you, depression and anxiety may not always come as depression and anxiety. It can come as physical problems. Lot of people have acidity and then they vomit. And always I get a number of people who have been to a gastroenterologist. They put some scope inside, seen everything is normal, and then they tell them, I think you go to a psychiatrist. And I always tell them, you are vomiting not what you ate, but what you hate. So any kind of negativity leads to that. There are some people I know who can't fire their boss, can't fire their wife. So they fire the toilet in the morning, you know. They land up with diarrhea, constipation, all sorts of problems. Every morning is a battle. You know. If it's a lucky day, then they are happy. If it's an unlucky day, they are unhappy. So that is a common thing. Even a lot of skin problems are due to depression and anxiety. Pimples, a lot of eczemas. It is all want of affection. It is all depression and stress. Another issue is self-medication. I see a lot of patients who tell me, whole time I get a headache, you know. They have a strip of Crocin with them the whole time. They feel acidic, they'll take a Jellucil. If they feel this thing, they'll take a Crocin. They don't get sleep, they'll take a sedative. Self-medication is also bad. That is something which we don't advise at all. And the worst thing you can do when you're depressed and anxious is think about the same thing again. No, there's no use in thinking. There is no use in getting angry and letting the emotions flow also. I remember I mentioned in one of my talks that anger has to be vented out. And someone told me just that, all right then, that, you know, if we get angry, we should shout and hit someone. And I said, I didn't mean that. It has to be vented out through other means. There's a study done in the US which says that if you write about something positive that you've done in a day, even 5 minutes, it releases a number of positive hormones in your body and you feel good. So that could be a medium. There are studies done. In fact, the University of San Diego, California has devised what is called a tickling machine. They put people on the machine and the machine is supposed to tickle you. And they say the way you laugh when you're tickled talks about your personality. You know, whether you laugh openly or whether you try to restrict your laughter. So, you know, those are the kind of studies which are being done. But most importantly, we have to fight. We can't run away. There are only two responses when you are depressed and anxious. I won't go into this thing. You either fight or you run away. So there's fight and flight. There are two. There's no flight. For Indians, there is no flight. We are here. We are stuck. Abroad, it is fashionable to say, you're going to a psychiatrist. India, no. In my lane, if you tell them I want to meet Dr. Avinash D'Souza, they will first look at you, you know, top to bottom, before you meet me. Then they will say, aapko kya kaam hai? So if you are unlucky enough to tell them ki dawai lena hai, then they will look at you still weirdly. If you tell them nahi, parcel deliver karna hai, ghar udhar hai, you know, udhar chale jao, they will not look at you. But that's the way it is in India, you know. Paglo ka doctor, they call. There is no other way out. I remember, so that stigma is there. It's there. Abroad it's not there. Abroad it's fashionable to say, I'm going for therapy, you know, or I am in therapy. You know, here it is fashionable to say, I've had a bypass, or you know, I have been operated for cancer. That is more fashionable. But you know, to say I'm going for therapy, no, it's not fashionable. I'm undergoing chemotherapy is fashionable, but you know, I'm undergoing therapy is not fashionable. So that's the way it is. But we still accept that. I tell people, keep two books, you know, buy a green book or a blue book and a red book. Red book, write down negative things. Green book, write down positive things. Spend only 10 minutes doing this. Don't spend the whole day, you know, writing. And don't run away. Flight is not one of the ways out. There are many other ways. There's yoga, there's meditation, there are all sorts of things that can be done naturally. But the most important thing is to accept your life how it is. Accept that there are people around you who can't change. Accept that I shouldn't be struggling trying to change them. Rather, I have to adapt myself to them. I always remember when I was a resident doctor, we had a girl who was doing residency with us, and if anyone told her, you know, you've done this wrong or you're late or you're, she would get very angry. So one of our doctors, poor fellow, had the ignominy of bearing that. So he told her, you know, madam, aaj aap late aaye. Fart karke she slapped him. Kya late aaya? Gadi dekho, ye wo. So he told me, you know, I think Avinash, I don't want her in my unit. You keep her under you in your unit. So next day she came half an hour late. So she came and asked me, main late aa gayi ho kya? She asked like that. So I was, you know, wondering kya bhi hua. So I said, nahi nahi madam, main thoda jaldi aaj pahunch gaya, you know. So when I said that, fir theek hai, you know. And she told everyone, you know, I have worked under Avina, she's a fantastic person. I have, you know, he never said anything. And he knows the value of people. So they told me, I said, see, I never tell her she's wrong. She had some work had to be done, you know. So I told her, I said, madam, ye, if you tell her ye kaam karna hai, she'll get very angry. So I said, madam, ye kaam mujhse nahi hota hai. Aap mere se jyada experienced hai. Please bataiye kaise karna hai. Immediately she'll do. So there's a manner in which you say things that makes things work, you know. If you don't know what to do in life, freeze and think. Think, am I right? Am I wrong? What should I do? People don't think. They take impulsive decisions which later on, you know, upsets them. Enjoy yourself. Laugh a while. People don't do that. I always tell people in psychiatry, it's a very stressful profession. If I'm a very serious psychiatrist, you know, like some people are like that, you know, absolutely serious. I said, patient bhag jayega. I said, I have to make him feel happy in at least the half an hour that he meets me. Then he'll come again, you know, wo doctor achha hai, thoda hasata to hai. So at least, you know, he'll come. I said, if I'm very serious, yeah, tell me. You know, I remember I went to meet a doctor, my dentist, you know, very serious doctor. Tell me which teeth is paining, you know. So I told him, sir, this teeth and all, you know. I told him, nice clinic you have. Yeah, so what? You know. So, you know, I said, now, if someone talks to me like that, you know, I will feel uncomfortable, you know, sitting there. And he said, please lie down and keep your mouth open. You know, I got worried now what he is going to do. So doctors like that, I think, you know, patients will run away. We have to be jovial. And you have to find humor in everything. If a project goes bad, find humor. If a grant doesn't get accepted, find humor. It's not that. We have to find happiness in everything. I remember they brought a boy to me 2 weeks back. And they told me, sir, he doesn't want to get married. Please counsel him. I said, how can I counsel him? Now, if he doesn't want to get married, it is his choice. Nahi, aap, the parents use this word. Sir, aap kuch bhi karke uska brainwash kijiye. Ki wo shadi kar le. So I said, my brainwash kaise karunga? He says, nahi, aap baat to kijiye. Aap se shayad baat karke usko thoda inspiration mile. Main bola, just because I'm married, you know. So then he told me, he said, see, every day my mother and father fight. And he says, when I see that, you know, I shudder to think if I have a wife and my life becomes like this, what will happen? So he says, mujhe sab aurat se dar lagta hai. I told him, shaadi kar lo, fir ek hi se dar lagega. I said, baki sab apne aap achhe lagenge. So he said, aisa hai kya? I said, yes. I said, because, I said, then you have to fear only one person. Now you are fearing everyone. So I said, don't worry. So you have to find humor in everything you do. And you know, you have to forgive and forget. I always tell people, in my clinic, you know, I kept a dustbin next to me. So before I talk to a patient, after he leaves, I tell him, apna sab chinta isme dal ke jaiye. Ye dustbin hai, isme sab dal ke aapko jana hai. So usually I tell them, aapka kya kya chinta hai, likho. And I tell them, compile it, put it in this and go. I said, then you will feel better. If you don't, you can't. And most importantly, sleep well. I am again saying this because lack of sleep is a chronic problem we have. We always worried, we have to get up early, we have to reach here, we have to do this. We don't sleep well, you know. I'll tell you, normally, you know, this is I'm sharing, Dr. Satya doesn't know. I sleep from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, you know. And when he told me 4 o'clock, he said, there is no other time, it is only 4 o'clock. So I said, theek hai. So I slept from 12 to 2. And then I got up and came here. Don't compensate on your sleep for anything. I sleep in the afternoon because evening I have clinic, I have to sit and listen to people. Otherwise, I'll feel sleepy in the clinic. So, you have to sleep. You cannot compensate on your sleep at all. And don't let the clock rule you. Do what? 15 minute late ho gaya. I know we work in institutes, attendance matters, all that is there. We have to leave at a particular time, enter. Yes, that's there. But overall in life, you know, enjoy the moments, you know. If your children are small, enjoy them. If your children are growing, enjoy them. If you're unmarried, enjoy and look around. Maybe you'll find someone. If you're married, enjoy that moment. So there's enjoyment to be done in every phase. And enjoy nature. I remember I went for a walk in your institute. And I have not seen this kind of greenery in many institutes in Bombay, definitely. The garden was such, I felt like sitting there. I said, lecture idhar hona chahiye tha. You know, we are having it here. But the thing is that you'll have all that. But then, yes, you all are busy with your work. It may not be possible. Otherwise, tomorrow, you know, you will go and lie down on the lawn and say, Dr. Avinash has said, you know, relax, so we are not going to work. You know, that is not the aim of the lecture. Not at all. A bit of exercise is very essential, you know. Today we don't have time. I remember my cardiologist friend said, I told one of my patients, ki tum treadmill lo aur exercise karo. He said, aadmi rakha hai, kar raha hai. So he said, that is not the way. We have to do it. Walk, 1 hour walk is essential. If you can't run like me, please walk. You know, you don't need to run. Walking is essential. So, and a little bit of exercise, yes. Solve something that makes your brain active, you know. Puzzles or I don't know, people do that Sudoku kind of thing, you know. Something that makes your brain active, which is away from your work, you know. Not, don't solve crosswords related to your subject, no. You know, solve other crosswords, read other things. If you can have a pet, keep a pet, but pets are a nuisance in Bombay if you have a flat. It's very difficult. So, not advisable unless you're the type. And most importantly, spend time with your family. Talk to your family. People don't do that. In today's era, we have lost touch. In fact, one of the things which I recommend to families I meet is what I call digital free hours. Digital free hours means no laptop, no mobile, nothing. Only face-to-face communication. When we meet as doctors, we keep our mobile phones on the table and say, abhi aadha ghanta koi phone nahi uthayega. Jo phone uthayega, wo lunch ka bill bharega. You know, because the urge is there. Every message we want to see. If you leave the house without the mobile phone, you get worried, you know. How will people, in earlier days, if you left, you left. If you're not contactable, you're not contactable. But today, no. Even as a doctor, I remember I asked a very senior doctor who's now 75. I said, sir, when you were young and there were no mobile phones and if a patient was serious, how did you manage? He said, they would say, doctor nikle hai, aa rahe. And if the doctor didn't reach, even relatives would accept ki it was fate. Today, no. On the way, we are giving orders, we are monitoring the patient. If you don't pick up the mobile, it's a punishable offense for the doctor. So all those changes have happened, you know, in our life. See comedy films, you know. Always keep, no, don't see those TV serials where they are crying the whole time. Now my wife sees certain serials between 7 and 9. Either they are crying or they are blaming each other. And I always tell her, I said, if you fight with me, this is the reason. I said, you know, this it's not your fault. You are seeing such programs. So where they are talking about affairs and they are talking about everything. I said, so no wonder your mind starts thinking that way. See programs that make you laugh. Don't make you smile. That's very important. Don't see those serious movies. You know, that is very essential. And learn to laugh. Very, very essential is learn to laugh. A smile is so, so important. Today's world, I remember when I was yesterday driving in Bandra, where I stay. One auto man overtook me. And then he made a very dirty face at me and I smiled at him. So I said, sabko ghai hai, sabko tension hai bhai, tum kai ko gussa ho raha hai. So he said, aap hass rahe. I said, haan, abhi kya karenge? I said, aap gussa ho rahe, toh kam se kam mai toh hasu. So then he didn't say anything. Then he met me again at the signal ahead. So he said, aap doctor hai? I said, haan, ye lo, card rakho, kal aana kuch rahega. So I said, you know. So I said, aapko meri zarurat hai. I told him, you know. I said, aap aa jana. So that's the way it is. Anyway, these, thank you very much. These are my numbers. If there are any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So if there's some questions,
I at the outset, I did tell Dr. Satya that I don't intend to keep it a very scientific thing. You all do enough of that. So I said, I'll keep it more general. That is more essential. So I can give you studies for everything, but you all are used to that. So I didn't want to keep it in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about problems children face?
Okay.
They get depressed.
Right.
Most of the talks which you have has related to it.
Right. No, I did that because we were a primarily adult audience. Yeah. Yes, I'll tell you. Now see, depression in children come at various stages. It can come right at an early stage, that is below the age of 10. And the second phase when it comes is between 11 and 18. That is the adolescent phase. In the adolescent phase, they get angry, they get irritable, they cry. Their depressions are similar to adult depressions. And the causes are either academic stress or love relationships or peer influences and hormonal factors, because they are at the puberty stage. So that plays a role. At an early age, it is usually either parenting, which is going wrong, lack of one parent, lack of time on the part of the parents, or bullying in school, or academic stress again. I always remember I went to a particular school and there were interviews for the nursery class, you know, going on. So there was this small child who was holding the mother's hand and I just went to say hello to the principal because I work in the school. So I was waiting, so they said, interview chal raha hai, once that child comes out, you go in. I said, no problem. So this mother is telling the small child, you know, dekho beta, bahut important interview hai. Tension nahi lena, acche se sab jawab dena. And that child was looking somewhere else only, you know, he was not bothered, he didn't know why he has come here also. Now, the thing is, parents put anxiety into their children. I always say, the problem is in parents. Child comes home and says, I got 18 out of 20. He'll say, do mark kidhar gaya? That is the first thing they'll ask. Atra mila hai, they are not happy. They'll say, full kisko mila kya? You know, that is the second question parents ask. You know, appreciate your child that he got. That lack of appreciation from the parents is what the child yearns for. He wants that. And that leads to depression in many children. That they find ridicule. Then sibling rivalry is another factor. If you have one child who's very intelligent, studying well, one child who's not studying well, teachers put it, they compare. You know, they'll say, tumhara bhai itna acha kar raha hai, dekho tum kya kar raha hai, ye wo. Theek hai, he's different, that child is different, you know. So it is that way. I'll tell you just an example, you know, I'll take little time, but I want to mention this. We had a boy in our class called Sheldon. And I'm using his real name because he has told me, you know, tell my story. And he was very poor in studies. You know, teachers would hit him. At that time, teachers would hit us when we were small. Now they can't do it. So they would hit him, they would make him kneel down, they would give a remark in the calendar, they would give a zero in the paper. But Sheldon was very happy. He didn't worry. He said, I'm not capable of studying. He was that way. But he was good in drawing. He loved. So he did arts. He got only 40% in his 10th, he did arts, he did MA in geography. And people said, you know, geography, we thought, you know, you only teach in a school, what will he do? So he went abroad and he went to the US and he was teaching in a school there in the US. And he drew a very beautiful US map with his hand. He had one art, he used to draw maps. Bill Clinton was the president at that time of the US and visited his school. So Bill Clinton asked the principal, you know, who has drawn this map and this and that. So they said, this is a particular geography teacher who's there, he's an Indian who's come here. So his name is Sheldon D'Souza and he's there. So he said, okay, fine. So call him, I want to meet him. So he shook hands, had a photo with him. So Sheldon thought, maybe it's just that I've drawn well, so he has a photo. So he told him, Sheldon, would you like to work in New York? So he said, well, if the pay is good and, you know, like all of us say, or if the job is good, I may think. So Less than a week later, he had this whole bunch of army people enter his house. He said, sir, we've come to take you to New York. He said, I am not ready to shift. He says, we have a house, we have everything for you. Your things will be airlifted, your wife and you will come now. And don't worry, you know, everything will be done. And today he is a map marker for the US Army. And he earns around 12 lakhs a month, which is not what I earn or anyone earns. So, you know, the thing is, and to phone him and reach him is very difficult because he knows all their secrets. So, you have to go through 5 channels of questioning before Sheldon picks up the phone. So, that's the way it is. So, sometimes we feel children don't study, but they still make it big in life in their own way. If you want to write and send it across, that's also fine. Yeah.
So you talked about depression in like day-to-day life for normal people.
Yeah.
How do we differ that from clinical depression?
Okay.
You know, they exercise, do everything
right. Right. See, clinical depression comes in at 4 points to remember. One, if you say I feel depressed most of the time, then that's one worry. If you say I can't work because of my depression, meaning I'm been unproductive over the last 1 month, I go to my office, I sit, but I don't do anything. That's the second worry. Third, you feel life is not worth living. That is the third worry. And fourth is you feel that there is no hope for me in the future. See, we all get depressed, but we say kuch rasta niklega, you know, we keep that and we keep going. When you say there is no hope, if I ask anyone, do you feel depressed? You will say yes. So, do you want to kill yourself? No, I'm not that depressed. You know, immediately we'll say. So that means you're not clinically depressed that you need my help. But yes, if you reach that stage, I say, are you able to work? I'm struggling, but I'm working. So he's performing. It's okay. When he doesn't perform, when he's depressed most of the time, if I ask you in the bathroom, do you feel like crying when you're alone? You say yes. If that happens again and again, you feel life is not worth living, that's clinical depression. Then you need to come in and, you know, meet me, probably. So that's the way we differentiate. Yeah.
To sleep well, I mean, it's very tough to sleep well. I mean, I get sleep, I mean, after a long time, after four hours, I'm in bed, but I don't get sleep.
Okay. Now, the first thing is that, I'll give you my card before going. I'm just joking. You know, you're a potential patient for me. I'm just joking. But the thing is, you asked a very vital question. See, a lot of people don't get sleep immediately. The reason for that is they don't learn to switch off from their day-to-day routine. You know, very often, and particularly, I'll tell you, you're a very special group. You all are researchers, you all are academicians, and I'm a researcher and academician myself. So, you know, if I'm thinking about, say, a research meeting I have tomorrow, or I'm thinking about a project that I have tomorrow, I'm thinking about something I put in the lab and I'm going to analyze that tomorrow, I don't sleep. It's that way. So, it depends on why you're not sleeping. Now, if you're not sleeping because you're excited a bit about, you know, what you want to do tomorrow, then it's not insomnia. It's more of an excitement from a research point of view that, okay, tomorrow my cultures will be ready and I'm going to have a look at them, you know, that kind of a thing. But if I am not sleeping because I'm worried, now if you tell me worried because I have a presentation tomorrow, even I may not sleep if I have an international conference presentation and I'm thinking, oh, what would be the questions be and what is what, it's my original research. So yes, I may sleep less on that day. But if this is happening more than 4 days a week, and if this is happening on a regular basis without a cause of worry, then I have to think why. A, am I just thinking too much? B, am I really anxious or worried? C, am I the type of person who is probably doing something wrong after 7 o'clock that is hampering my sleep? Am I having tea and coffee a lot post 7, which is not good? No. Most people when they read, when they study, they tend to have tea and coffee and then they think I should sleep. They won't sleep. So those could be factors. So we have to look at that. We have to sort of analyze, you know, overall what could be the reason. Again, it doesn't matter how long you take to sleep. It is the total duration of hours spent sleeping. If you tell me I sleep 7 hours, you may take 4 hours to sleep. But if you sleep 7 hours, that's good enough. If you say no, because of that I'm sleeping only 3 hours, then it's a worry. So based on that, you probably have to analyze. Yeah.
Dr. Nash, we commend that I received three efficiency
Right. Right, right. Right. See, I'll answer that. The whole issue here is, I didn't say accept everything as it is. I said accept most things as they are, accepting your life as it is. That's what I repeated again and again. When I mean accepting your life, see, there may be institutional issues, there may be work issues which you can't change. Now, you have only two ways. Either you remain there and work, accepting them, or you leave and go elsewhere. Now, going elsewhere, it is what we call a stage in transition. It can't happen tomorrow. If you decide one fine day, okay, I'm working in a particular college, I don't like the work ethics, I don't like the things. Now, you have two views. Either you accept and you work and you continue because the position is good, the salary is good, you need the facilities, etc. B, I move on. Move on to where? So then I have to look at options, plan and decide. But wherever I am, I have to accept that there are going to be positive entities around me, there are going to be negative entities around me, there are going to be neutral entities around me. And there are, most importantly, there are going to be people who I can't change. And it is something which has to come in, if not immediately, after 3 years, after 5 years, after 7 years, because if it doesn't come in, then you're going to land up with depression and anxiety in the long run. And you'll end up with clinical depression in the long run because you feel no one is working according to the way I want. So, no, and I always tell teachers this, I always tell doctors this, I always tell employers this, that you're always going to have employees, research students, faculty who are a little inferior to you. You can't change them. Same way, you're going to have people who are far, far superior to you and don't care for you. You can't change them. At the same time, I'm going to have maybe a wife who doesn't understand everything. I'm going to have a family who doesn't understand certain things. But that's that. Like, I'll tell you a simple example. I met a research scholar who's from Postgraduate Institute of Medical Sciences, Chandigarh. And he told me that he is a good friend of mine. He's now a faculty there. And he told me that I do research. And he says, sometimes I think of something on Sunday and I want to sort of, you know, go to the lab or do something. And my family gets upset that, you know, today is Sunday, don't go, this, that. But he says, research aise nahi hota hai, you know, researcher should have a free life. And so I told him, now you're married, you can't help it. So you have to give time to your family. No, or you have to have an understanding family, okay, Sunday I'll spend in the lab, so Monday main ghar pe rahunga. I said, if you are willing to compensate in that way, then it's fine. Let me tell you, I also have a schedule where sometimes I have to work on Sundays. Now, if I work on Sundays because I have a workshop or I have something, I take the Monday off to make people happy at home. So, we have to compensate somewhere. Now, so that understanding has to come in, that acceptance has to come in. And you're going to have people around you who may not understand the level of thinking you have. So, you have to still go down to their level and accept that. That is what I meant. It takes time. It won't happen overnight. But over a period of time, if that doesn't come, you're going to be unhappy where you are. So then you have to either move away from there or remain there and accept. Yeah.
So if you see someone around you is feeling depressed, what's a good way to tell them to see them?
Well, what I'll say is, it is this way. You could suggest that, you know, this is what I feel. In no uncertain terms, if you don't want to use the word depression, you can say you're worried or you're bothered or you're, you know, I feel upset about something. Would you like to talk about it? Let him talk to you first. I always say the best friend is very often your colleague or someone who you can share with. So if he's open and he talks to you, if you feel it's something which can be sorted out at your level, please go ahead and sort it out. You know, it doesn't need to even come to a doctor. But if yes, if you feel no, it's beyond my level, suggest to him, tell them there is help at hand. Why don't you go? See, very often I'll tell you, the stigma of psychiatry is so much that even in Sion Hospital where I work, if I have a physician who's depressed, he won't come to me because he feels, oh, people will think, you know, that ye psychiatrist ke paas ja raha hai. So then I'll be labeled ki the head of department of medicine is depressed. You know, it is something like that. So same way, when you work in an institute, sometimes though you have say medicine facilities available, people may not seek help because they don't want that label to be attached to them. And you're a closely knit institute where everyone knows everyone, so it does get difficult. Now the only way they're out is you go out and seek someone neutral, you know, who doesn't know you, and take his opinion. Maybe any doctor, maybe any doctor, take his opinion, take his help if possible. Don't go to your institute, I always tell people. And then if you feel, yes, now it's serious and I need help, yes. Because there are many times I know people who are in institutes, who are in organizations, like the police force, for example, or maybe like the armed forces. They don't seek help internally because they feel, oh, it will hamper promotions, it will hamper other things, it will hamper a lot of things, so they don't want to seek help. So I tell them, seek help outside. Go and meet someone who's not attached to your institute at all. You never know, you might feel happier, you might feel freer to speak, you may feel, and you might get the help you need without anyone knowing. So that's that option is always there.
Yeah. Last question, I think. How can depression influence their decision making?
See, there's no doubt, when you're depressed, you can't think clearly. You know, suppose I tell you that, you know, very simple thing, suppose I tell you, you have only 4 hours to live now. Decide what you want to do. So you may be able to decide a few things, but then in the last 1 hour you realize that char cheez reh gaya. Abhi time bhi nahi. So it is something like that. That when you're depressed, your whole time confused. Karu ki nahi karu, jao ki nahi jao. So that impairs decision making. And you think negative. You think, oh, if I do this anyway, it's going to be a failure. Why should I do it? So you won't do it. Second, someone wants to help you, you think, oh, he has something in his mind, he wants to help me. You don't look at it openly. So it does impair decision making. So even when it comes to maybe academic, personal, social, it impairs all decision makings. So when you're depressed, no doubt, it is well known. Yeah.
Okay, just one last question. I mean, since you asked, rest you can have it at the teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, very briefly.
Sometimes it happens that in past you are very good at something and suddenly due to something else, you can't do it right now.
Right.
So you get frustrated more of because you were good at something and now the same you.
Could you give me an example when you mean good at something?
I'll take my example. So I used to run a lot in the past, but I had some injury. So.
Right. I got what you're trying to say. See, the whole thing is that we have to accept our bodies also as they are. In the sense that if I look at myself, okay, the way I would work when I was 25 is different from the way I would work now. I get tired more easily now compared to when I was 25. So the thing is, with age, things happen. With injuries, things happen. To just explain to you this, I was referred once a surgeon who lost both his hands in a car accident. And he was depressed, no doubt, anyone would be. He was a very famous plastic surgeon who lost both his hands in a car accident and he was depressed. His son was also a doctor, his daughter-in-law was a doctor, his wife was a doctor. And they said ki, we can understand what he feels, but we can't do anything to help him. Haath hi nahi hai, toh what can we do? There's no robotic hand that can make him operate. So we can give him an artificial hand, but we can't give him a robotic hand that can make him operate. So what do we do? I spoke to him, I told him, I said, he said, I can't bear the fact that I will never operate again. So I told him, can you have hands that operate for you? Can you have surgeons who want to work under you? I said, you will get paid maybe a little less than you get paid for a surgery, but do you want to do that? So he said, yes, I'll love to do that. So he goes into an operation theater, stands and directs operations. Cut this, don't cut that, do this, do that. And he has a team of people who work under him. And slowly, steadily, he has sort of started practicing again. He's doing well. He's very happy now. The thing is, we have to accept there are things we can't do. It comes over time, as I said, it can't come overnight. Well, you have to find alternatives. If I can't run, can I punch? You know. So then, yes, I can do my cardio exercise in another way. If I can't jog, then can I do something whereby, you know, cardio is taken care of, but I don't have to jog. There are ways and means if we look for it. If you say, no, I want to have that running only, no, that we have to learn to let go. It is something like this, you know, students who do a PhD, they very often tell me, I didn't get a topic of my choice. I did the topic which the guide wanted me to do. And I tell them, I said, topic of your choice is with you. You can do it anytime. 3 years, do what the guide wants. Later on, you do what you want. And they said, ha, wo bhi hai. We didn't think of it that way. I said, PhD degree chahiye na? So they said, ha. So I said, jo guide bolta hai, karne. Guide is always right. Simple. So, you know, so then they said, you know, right. So they did that. Then what happened was they got name and fame because of the project they did. And now they've done hundreds of papers in that area. Bhul gaye jo karna tha, you know. So sometimes it happens that way. I know doctors who wanted to be a gynec, you know. Today they are surgeons. Doctors who wanted to be a surgeon, today he is doing something else. So it happens. Life makes you change tracks without you realizing it. It happens that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also want to thank Nandgopal, who has been instrumental in getting the talk organized. So let us thank him again.
Yeah.